So, I was out at my uncle's place in Oklahoma. He's got this big farm out in the boonies, the kind of spot where your phone's data signal connects to nothing. I was there for the weekend, doing the whole family bonding thing, helping with the harvest. That's a job and a half, let me tell you. So, there I was, covered in dust and sweat, hauling these bushels of corn that felt like weights. The sun was dipping, and the whole place was bathed in that golden hour light, making everything look like a postcard from the good old days. My uncle, he's one of those up at dawn, work till dusk types, and he was driving the tractor like a captain at sea, all stoic and focused. The rest of us were on foot, doing the grunt work and busting our butts. We were about done for the day when I spotted this dog, or at least I thought it was a dog at first, darting through the rows of corn like it was chasing something. Being the animal lover I am, I dropped my load and took off after it. Gonna save the day, I thought, like some sort of cornfield crusader. I crashed through the stalks, stumbling over clumps of dirt, calling out like a fool, "Here, boy! Here, boy!" or "Here, girl!" I mean, I didn't know which it was. I could hear it ahead of me, rustling through the corn, and I was thinking the whole time, "What's this dog doing out here all alone? Where could it have come from?" But when I finally caught up to the thing, I wasn't at all ready for what I saw. There in a little clearing was this thing. It wasn't any dog. It stood there on two legs, all casual like it was waiting for a bus, not a care in the world. Its fur was matted and messy, kind of gray-brown, and it had these eyes that just looked at you like it was peering into your soul or something. I froze. My heart was going a mile a minute, but my brain was like, "Nope." The creature, it tilted its head, kind of studying me, I guess. There was no sound but the corn whispering around us. I wasn't scared, not exactly. Confused, more like it. What was this thing? Why was it here? And why did it look so, I don't know, calm? For a long moment, we just stared at each other, and I swear it was like it knew me. Like it saw me standing there in my uncle's old t-shirt, jeans covered in dirt, and it was thinking, "What's your story, buddy?" Then, as if it decided I wasn't worth the trouble, it took a step back and another. Its movements were smooth, deliberate. It wasn't scared of me. If anything, I got the feeling it was just done with our encounter. And then, it turned and walked back into the corn, leaving me there with 100 questions and a racing heart. I stood there for God knows how long, trying to make sense of it with no intentions at all of following it. A million explanations ran through my head. Was it some new species? A freak of nature? Or something else? My mind raced through every sci-fi movie I'd ever seen. I didn't tell my uncle or the others. I mean, what was I gonna say? "Hey, saw a creature from another planet, maybe. Or a science experiment gone walkabout in your cornfield." They'd think I'd been standing in the sun too long. That night, I lay in the guest room staring at the ceiling, going over it all again and again. The image of that creature was burned into my mind. Its eyes, they had this awareness. It wasn't just some animal. It was something more. Days passed, and the encounter didn't fade like I thought it would or hoped it would. It stuck with me, clinging to the edges of my thoughts no matter how hard I tried to shake it. I did some research, some internet deep dives and all that, looking for anything that matched what I saw. Nothing. It was like trying to find a ghost. I went back to the farm a few times after that over the next few months. I'd wander out to the cornfield, hoping to catch another glimpse, to get some kind of answer, but there was nothing. Just rows and rows of corn, and the occasional rabbit bolting out. The thing is, I know what I saw. I wasn't dreaming, I wasn't drunk, and I sure as hell wasn't making it up. There's something out there, something that's not supposed to exist, but it does. And it's smart enough to hide, to stay out of sight, to keep to itself so that it can stay a legend in the back of someone's mind. But I saw it. Even when I was back home, I started taking these long walks, just me and my thoughts, trying to piece together this puzzle. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that there's so much out there we don't know about, so much we think is just stories or imagination, but it's real. Sometimes I catch myself looking over my shoulder, half expecting to see it there, watching me, even if I'm not at the farm, but it's never there. Still, it's like I can feel its presence, like a shadow just out of sight. My friends, they noticed something was up with me. I wasn't the same, always distracted, always lost in thought. They'd ask me what's wrong, and I'd just shake my head. Nothing, I'd say. Just tired, you know? But it wasn't nothing. It was this secret, this big, unbelievable secret that I couldn't share. Well, I finally found you and know that I can now share this and finally get it all off my chest. And I really want to thank you for that. It means the world to me to have someone who is willing to hear me. So, you know how it is, right? You're out camping trying to get away from it all, and you think, hey, a midnight swim would be refreshing, wouldn't it? Well, actually, not many people do think like that, but that's exactly what I thought. Meanwhile, I was in for something totally different to happen, something that shook me to my core. This wasn't my first solo trip. I've done it a bunch of times. There's this lake I like near where I live in Illinois that's really secluded, surrounded by woods, and it's usually dead silent at night. Perfect spot for a guy like me who just wants to hear the sound of nothing for a while. I got there late in the afternoon, set up my tent, and had a couple of hot dogs over the fire. Classic camping food. So the night rolls in, right? The sky's clear, the stars are out, and I'm just lying there looking up, thinking about nothing and everything. Then I got this idea to take a dip. The water's always cold as heck, but I figure why not? A little cold water never hurts anyone, and I actually find it refreshing. Shakes my body into gear. So I get to the edge, and the first thing that hits me is the fog. It's just rolling over the water like something out of a movie. Creepy, sure, but also kind of cool too. I dip my toe in, and that's when I notice the water's warm, like really warm. And that's odd because this lake is never warm, especially not at night. I should have taken that as a sign, but nah, I just shrugged it off. So I wade in, and it's this weird feeling because the fog's so thick, I can barely see my hands in front of me. But it's calm and quiet, and I start to relax. That's when I feel it. Something brushes up against my leg. Now, I'm not talking about a little fish nibbling here. It's like, imagine rough sandpaper or scales or something like that. And it's not just a brush. It's more like something sliding by me, deliberately. This is like my worst nightmare come to life. I freeze. My heart's doing 100 miles an hour, and I'm trying to talk myself off the ledge of what just happened. Then I saw it. In the water, there's this shape, a big one, moving, gliding along. And it isn't a log or shadow. It's alive and moving with purpose, and it's got this long, serpentine look to it. Now, I've heard stories of big fish and eels in lakes, but this is bigger than that. This thing is massive, and I can't match it to anything I've ever heard of. My brain's telling me to scream, but I'm dead silent, standing there like a statue. Instinct kicks in. I don't know what this thing is, but I sure as heck don't want to stick around to find out. I back up really slowly, trying not to splash or make any noise, because I know that this thing can maneuver through the water much faster than I can, meaning I'm at a total disadvantage. My eyes are fixed on that shape, but it's hard to keep it in my sight with the fog and the dark. I eventually get to the shore in less than 10 steps, and I'm not ashamed to say I booked it out of there faster than I ever ran in my life. I didn't look back. I didn't stop to grab my stuff I had set on the ground. Nothing. I hit the ground running and didn't stop until I got to my truck, where luckily I had a second pair of shoes and some proper clothing. Driving back, my mind's racing. What was that thing? I've been to that lake dozens of times, and nothing like this has ever happened before. I'm trying to tell myself I imagined it, but deep down, I know that's not true. I felt it and saw it. I mean, who makes up feeling sandpaper in the water? No one makes that up, and that's what I felt. It was there, 100%. Back home, I start going back over it all. The water being warm, the fog, that shape, none of it makes sense. I've been over it a million times in my head, and I still can't piece it together. I've told a couple of buddies, and they think some piece of trash or something was in the water. I wish it was that. So now, I'm left with this story. This is an absolutely true, crazy story that sounds like a campfire tale. I haven't been back to that lake since. Maybe one day I'll have the guts to go again and see if it was just a one-off thing. But for now, I'm sticking to daylight dips. And even then, I scan the water in advance to be sure it's safe. Because here's the thing about the unknown. Once you've had a taste of it, it sticks with you. It makes you wonder what's lurking beneath the surface, in the corner of your eye, or just out of reach in the fog. It makes you think twice about going for a midnight swim in a secluded lake, that for sure. Or at least it should. You ever have one of those nights where the air's just a little too quiet, and the world just seems to have a weirdness to it? Well, that's how it was when I was driving through the desert that night. I was coming back from a friend's place, a couple of hours out of Phoenix, which is where I live. It's the kind of drive where you set the cruise control and just let the road unfold. The dashboard clock was pushing past midnight, and the only thing keeping me company was the low hum of the tires on the asphalt and some oldies station I found. That's when it happened. Something shot out in front of the car so fast I barely had time to react. My heart was blowing up against my ribs as I jerked the wheel to the left. The car skidded, kicking up a cloud of dust and gravel before it came to a stop. I was sitting there for a second, hands glued to the wheel, trying to convince myself I was still alive. That's when I saw it. There was something standing off the side of the road. It was just outside the reach of the headlights, but the way the moonlight was hitting it, I could make out that it was weird. This thing was tall, kind of humanoid, like a person almost, but all wrong. It had this skin that looked like somebody stretched out chrome over a mannequin. The way it reflected the moonlight was eerie. We just stared at each other, and I swear I could feel it looking right at me, not just at the car, but at me. Then, without any kind of warning, it bolted. Not like any animal I've seen, though. This was like 0 to 60 in the blink of an eye. It shot across the desert so fast, I could barely follow it. It was like it just vanished into the night. So there I was, heart racing, trying to make sense of what I'd just seen. I mean, what do you do with that? There's no frame of reference for something like this. I remember thinking, okay, breathe. You just need to breathe. I checked the car and everything seemed all right. No damage. But my nerves were fried. I started driving again, slower this time, half expecting to see that thing come back or wondering if it was some trick of the light. But nothing. It was just me and the road again. When I got to the next gas station, I pulled in, more to get my thoughts straight than anything else. The clerk must have seen something on my face because he asked me if I was all right. I just nodded, grabbed a water from the cooler, and went out to sit on the curb. My hands were still shaking a bit as I took a drink, and I found myself scanning the horizon, half expecting to see those reflective scales glinting in the distance. It was like my eyes were playing tricks on me, creating mirages of movement in the stillness of the desert night. But as I squinted into the darkness, something caught my attention. There was a subtle flicker, a shimmer that didn't match the steady rhythm of the stars or the soft glow of the distant town lights. I stood up, my body tense, water bottle forgotten in my hand. It couldn't be, could it? I peered harder, and there it was again, a quick flash, like light reflecting off a mirror. But it was no mirror. It was that same impossible fluid motion I had seen earlier. The creature was there, out in the open desert, its scales catching the moon's rays as it moved. My heart was pounding in my ears now. I wasn't dreaming. This was real. The creature stopped, and it seemed to turn its head towards me. Even at that distance, I felt a connection, a strange kind of understanding passing between us. It was like it knew I was watching and had come back to, what? To show itself? To prove that I wasn't crazy. I found my legs moving before I had decided to walk. I was drawn towards the creature, each step cautious but determined. The desert was silent around me, the night air cool on my skin. As I got closer, the creature didn't move. It just stood there, magnificent and otherworldly. And then, when I was close enough to see it clearly, to confirm it was real, it did something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. The creature, this being that defied explanation, it changed. The scales seemed to ripple, and where there had been reflective chrome, there was now a soft light emanating from its body. It wasn't just reflecting the light, it was producing its own, like bioluminescence. I stopped walking. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was beautiful and terrifying all at once. Then, as if understanding it had shared enough, the creature turned and sped off again, disappearing over a ridge and out of sight. I stood there for I don't know how long, trying to process what had happened. Eventually, I made my way back to the car and the gas station. I didn't say anything to the clerk. What could I say? That I'd seen a light show in the desert put on by a being that shouldn't exist. In the days that followed, I went over it again and again in my mind. I researched everything from desert mirages to rare animal sightings. I even looked into old folk tales from the area, but nothing fit what I had seen. It was a while before I went out to that stretch of road again. When I did, it was with a mix of apprehension and hope. Maybe it would appear again. Maybe I could get some kind of proof. But the desert kept its secrets, and I never saw the creature again. I still drive out there sometimes, you know? Just to feel that same silence. To see if maybe, just maybe, it might come back. But it's just me and the road, the hum of the tires, and the memories of two encounters that I can't explain. The thing is, whether I see it again or not, it changed me. It made me realize there's so much out there that we don't understand, and maybe we're not meant to. Some people might think I'm crazy, or they might believe I saw something truly extraordinary. All I know is what I saw, what I felt, and that has to be enough. So I keep my eyes on the horizon, and I keep driving, because you never know what's out there, waiting. You know how some nights are just weird? Well, I had one of those recently. Couldn't catch a wink. Just lay there, staring at the ceiling fan going round and round. Eventually, I gave up, right? Thought I'd get myself a drink from the kitchen. Maybe that would help. So I shuffled down the hallway, all creaky floorboards and shadows. The clock was ticking away in the living room, kind of soothing, but also a bit eerie. I filled my glass at the sink and took a sip. That's when I saw it. Through the kitchen window, there was this thing. It was tipping over the bins out back. Now, we've had raccoons and even a bear once, but this wasn't like that. It was bigger than a dog for sure. I couldn't make out much in the dark, but its eyes caught the light. Kinda like when you see a cat at night, all shiny and bright. It had a weird shape too, and it didn't fumble around like animals do. This thing knew what it was doing. It was very deliberate and quiet. I pressed my face against the window, trying to get a better look. It must have caught my movement, or maybe seen the reflection, because it stopped and turned. Now I've seen plenty of animals look my way, but this was different. It had this look, almost like it was calculating how to get to me, and not for any reason that would be good. Then, just as suddenly as it appeared, it took off. Not in a panic, but smooth, like it decided it was time to go. And it was fast. 1 second it was there, and then it just melted into the woods. I couldn't hear a branch break or leaves rustle. It was gone, silent as the night. I stood there for who knows how long, glass in hand, trying to process the insanity of it. Eventually, I turned on every light in the house, checked all the locks, and peeked out of every window. But there was nothing. Just the normal night sounds and the bins knocked over on the grass. The next morning, I went out to clean up the mess. I found footprints, sort of. They were too messed up to make out clearly, and I'm no tracker, but they were odd, larger than any dog prints, with a strange pattern that didn't match any shoe I'd ever seen. It gave me the chills, and I kept looking over my shoulder the whole time I was out there. I told my neighbor about it later, and she just said I probably just saw a stray, and my half-asleep brain made it into something more. But I know what I saw. It wasn't a dog or any stray. I've seen plenty of those, and they don't give you that cold sweat or that twist in your gut. I tried to let it go, but every time I heard a noise at night, my mind raced back to that thing at the window. I started researching, looking up local wildlife, checking those cryptozoology sites. Couldn't find anything that matched it exactly. Whatever it wasn't normal. Not a wolf, not a bear, not any critter you'd find in a nature guide. Nights turned into weeks, and I caught myself avoiding the kitchen window after dark. I'd grab water from the bathroom instead. Silly, right? But you weren't there. You didn't see those eyes. Then one evening, as I was getting home, I noticed something by the woods. A trash bag, one of ours, torn open, but just sitting there over at the tree line. It was like that thing was leaving a calling card, a reminder. I couldn't help thinking it was deliberate, a signal that it was still around, watching. That's when I decided to set up a camera. I needed to see it again, to prove I wasn't losing it. I picked up one of those wildlife cams, the kind that snaps a picture when it detects movement. I mounted it on a tree, aiming it towards where I saw that creature, and waited. Each morning, I checked the footage, but there was nothing, just wind-blown branches and the occasional bird. I was starting to doubt myself, starting to think maybe it was all in my head, until last night. I woke up to see the camera's notification on my phone. Motion detected. Heart pounding, I grabbed my phone, opened the app, and there was nothing. Just a bunch of raccoons going through the garbage. I'll keep trying, but I think this thing is super smart and knows what I'm up to. I haven't figured out what to do next. Should I call someone? Who would believe me? Who do you call about stuff like this that doesn't really fit into any category? Would love to hear any suggestions. I'm Italian and have been waiting to get in touch with you. I want to tell you about this wild experience I had in Ravello, Italy. Ravello is this cool village on the cliffs of Italy's Amalfi Coast. My name's Carlo, by the way, and I'm just a history professor from Rome, really into stories about my country. Every summer, I take a break to go somewhere and dig into some history. This time, Ravello was my choice because of its old buildings and great views. So, I was walking around the place one evening. That night, as usually happens, when the sun went down, the streets started getting lit by lanterns. The shadows got all long, and although beautiful, were also a bit creepy. And I could smell flowers blooming, and hear the sea not too far away. Then, out of nowhere, everything suddenly went silent. It was like the whole town stopped breathing or something. Right then, I heard this weird noise, kind of like wings flapping in the wind. The silence got even more intense, except for that flapping sound. So, naturally, I got curious and decided to check it out. I followed the sound and ended up at this old, rundown cathedral that was just at the top of the hill, maybe a 5-minute walk. At first, I looked around but saw nothing. I knew this church welcomed visitors at any time, and so I went inside, hating how the wooden doors made this creaking sound that echoed all over. Once inside, I walked around slowly as my eyes got used to the dim light of just the candles, and I saw something I can't even begin to explain. It was off in a corner, and its movement caught my attention. At first, I thought it was a priest or other church worker, but at first, I couldn't quite tell. What confused me was that it was tall, about 6 feet, but looked like a mix between a man and an animal. It had black feathers all over it, and these huge leather wings, like a bat's, were on its back. I wondered at first if it was some type of ancient cloak, and that I was intruding on some unique ceremony. Let's just say that I wasn't a regular church goes, and so anything could have been the truth at that point. But anyway, the craziest part was its face, or rather, the lack of one. When this thing finally turned and looked toward me, I could tell that there were just two big red eyes glowing in the dark. Man, I was scared. My heart was beating like crazy, and I was sweating bullets. My legs felt like jelly, and I was just trying to make sense of what I was seeing. So, there I was, still inside the cathedral, my heart pounding so loudly it sounded like drums. I was sweaty, my legs were wobbly, and I couldn't stop my hands from shaking. And all the while, that thing just kept staring at me with its glowing red eyes, not moving or making a sound. You know that feeling when you lock eyes with someone and there's like a connection? It was like that, but way more intense. I felt like it knew me somehow, and it gave me the creeps. Time just seemed to stop as we stared at each other. Finally, I got up the nerve to take a step back, even though every part of me was yelling to run away. But the creature didn't move. It just kept looking at me. And then it opened its wings. Man, they were even bigger and scarier than I first thought. The rustling sound they made filled the whole place, and I couldn't help but feel a mix of amazement and terror. Then, out of nowhere, it made this sound. I can't even describe it. It wasn't a growl or a roar, but something older, more unsettling. It bounced off the walls and hit me right in the chest. And then, with one big flap, it flew up into the cathedral's roof, like up into the rafters, and was then gone. I couldn't see it at all anymore. It was like it knew of a secret exit up there. That was it for me. I turned and ran out of there as fast as I could, but somehow, I could feel it watching me, and I even thought I heard the soft sound of its wings as it took off. I didn't stop running until I was back in the busy main section of Ravello, where I collapsed against a wall, trying to catch my breath. I was back in reality, but I couldn't shake what had just happened. The memory of that creature, its wings, and those glowing eyes was stuck in my head. I spent the rest of the night just trying to process it all. Even now, as I'm writing this down, I still feel terrified. It's just so unbelievable, so eerie. In the ensuing days, I found myself drawn back to the cathedral, back to the place of the encounter. I was driven by a strange fascination, a need to understand what I had witnessed. The creature was never there, despite me stopping multiple times at different times of the day. Its existence marked only by the faint trace of an otherworldly presence. But maybe it was only me who felt that. The encounter changed me in ways I can still hardly comprehend. My pursuit of history, of forgotten tales and mysteries, had led me too close to something I had wanted to see. Basically, I crossed paths with a creature of legends. From then on, every creak of a door, every rustle of feathers, every hint of a shadow brought me back to that night. The creature had vanished, but its memory loomed large for me. Hey there, I'm writing to you because I really think that my story is something wild, and you'll probably be able to make more sense of it than me. I live in a pretty rural town, down in Kansas. And a few months ago, I saw the strangest thing I've ever laid my eyes on. There was this one morning that I had to go to the DMV and get a new license. Mine had expired. I got up early, way earlier than normal, and overall it seemed like a typical morning. It was then, on my drive to the DMV, when I saw it. Halfway there, I'm driving through my rural town into the more metro area of where I live, and I notice that there is some huge thing in the sky, nearly right above my car. At first, I freaked out. There was something, some flying object, in the sky. And whatever it was descending to the ground and fast. I thought at first that it was a plane, and that stressed me out more than anything. Was it a terrorist attack? Was there some kind of internal malfunction? I wanted to call the police or something. But the fact is, I sort of figured someone else already had. Besides, I was in shock and wasn't reacting properly. Anyway, whatever it was crashing. There was a stream of smoke coming out from behind it, clear as day. The odd thing was, as it came closer to the ground, closer into my field of vision, I realized it was definitely not a plane, or a helicopter, or anything I've seen in my life. So now I'm watching it way, way closer, because I want to see where the thing is going to drop. I know that curiosity killed the cat, but this seemed like something important, or at least abnormal enough to pay attention to. It was shaped like a CGI starship from a Marvel movie or something. It wasn't a flying saucer, but the way it was designed looked very foreign. It was gray, and for all intents and purposes, too large to go unnoticed, and too large to be in the sky for that matter. Eventually, after a short while, I see it descend closer and closer to the ground. Nearby, but definitely a few miles out. I figured, hey, I'm already late for my appointment. I should go see what the hell this is about. So now I'm speeding my way towards where I saw the thing crash. I was going quick as hell, and I got there in less than 10 minutes. I parked on the side of the road because it crashed in a kind of woodsy area I could only get to on foot. I can't lie, the adrenaline was high. and I was very excited to find this thing and figure out what the hell it was. Much to my dismay, though, when I got to the crash site, there was nothing there. I mean, there was a hole in the ground, but nothing else. It was just a massive, empty crater in the middle of the woods. I thought I was going crazy. I thought first that I had imagined the entire thing. And then I tried to rationalize that I had found the wrong spot, that this wasn't really where it had landed. But I soon understood that neither of those things were the case. Nope. In actuality, the damn thing just disappeared. But I'll tell you this, it didn't disappear without a trace. I jumped down into the big hole at the crash site to have a look around, and to check that the ship wasn't, like, invisible or something. And believe it or not, I found some debris. Debris is vague, I know, but this was the really strange part. I collected all the weird rocks that were scattered at the base of the crater and shoved them in my pockets. I looked around but found nothing else strange, and so I skedaddled out of there ASAP and took off in my car. Right away, I called my friend Tom, who is a rock hound and amateur geologist. He analyzed them and tested their densities and checked for Mohs hardness, or whatever, and tells me that the rocks I found were scraps of meteorites. That's right, rocks from the sky. Insane. You might not see how this is substantial, but the fact is that if what I saw was any other known aeronautical machine, there's no way in hell it would have been up in space like it was. There's no way it would have vanished, disappeared with almost no trace, unless, of course, it was something much rarer than any old airplane. My personal theory is that the thing teleported, that it entered our atmosphere and crashed somehow, and then by using some kind of weird technology, it got teleported back to wherever it came from before anyone else could see it. I've been scratching my head, kind of going crazy about it, to be honest. Since then, I haven't seen anything strange, but that doesn't mean I haven't been on the lookout for it. I bought a huge telescope, and now I find myself frequenting some unsavory parts of the internet to try and make sense of everything I witnessed. Not a lot of people in my personal life believe me, so I'm hoping at least you will. A few years ago, I was staying with a buddy in his huge rambling farmhouse out in rural Texas. And when I say rural Texas, I really mean it. This place is out there. His place was massive and had a ton of land surrounding it. We were both writers, or should I say, aspiring writers. And it was the perfect place for both of us to lock ourselves away and get on with our novels. The views were amazing, which we hoped would be inspiring. And there were plenty of deer on the property just wandering around aimlessly. My buddy was pretty protective of them lately, mainly because a couple of times over the last week or so, we'd found one mauled at the edge of his land. Let me tell you, that's never pretty, and it upset him a lot. I mean, this guy loved doe, and it was just a large congregation of doe everywhere. He would constantly be setting out apples for them, and salt licks. He was always sticking them around, hoping to draw them in. I think his plan was to pet one and probably befriend one. When it happened for the third time, despite it being what can happen often in nature, he decided to put down coyote traps, as he assumed that was what was hurting his deer. Like I just explained, he became pretty obsessive and very possessive of his deer. Maybe it was a coincidence, but there wasn't another attack for a few weeks, so he was sure that the traps had driven away the coyotes. I mean, this was a good thing. But we had also seen a few fawns, and then he was beginning to get really anxious that they would be easy pickings if the coyotes returned. After all, fawns are pretty defenseless. He even took to sleeping downstairs with a shotgun next to the door, so he could rush out and help if needed. I thought he was crazy, but then this story does get crazier, because one night we both heard an unmistakable howl outside. Even as a writer, although we both pen crime drama, I would struggle to put into words exactly what it sounded like. So the term howl is the best that I can come up with. I think it is the single most terrifying noise I have ever experienced. I bolted down the stairs to find my buddy, and the gun gone, the front door wide open. I threw on some boots, since you never walk outside in Texas without boots, and ran down to the traps. And that was when I saw it for the first time. Despite standing with a gun aimed right at it, my buddy was frozen. I mean, I can't say I blame him. For there, in the trap, was what I can only describe as a horrible wolf-like creature. Now I heard your audible gasp, your disbelief. Why on earth would I jump to that conclusion? Surely it was just a large coyote, or maybe a plain old wolf. Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever see a coyote stand on two legs just like a person and walk upright? No. Did you ever see one that had a long, skinny body and arms with hands resembling that of raccoons? Not paws, and not human hands? I didn't think so. Have you ever seen one covered in hair so dark that it literally absorbed the light around it? And have you ever looked at something's face and thought, that looks like a wild dog, but with human eyes? I bet you haven't. Well, a thing with those descriptions was caught in the coyote trap. It was huge, taller than both me and my buddy, and we're both 6 feet, ballpark. This thing was mad, viscerally angry, veins popping, mouth frothing, as it pulled violently against the trap. Shoot it, I whispered to my buddy, and he seemed to snap out of his trance. He raised his gun and fired off a shot. Normally, he's a pretty good aim, but I think the fear overtook him so much, which led to unsteady hands, and the shot went wide. What it did achieve, however, was to fire up this thing more. It gave another howl, although now being closer, it almost sounded like a human scream, like the Incredible Hulk, and it ripped itself out of the trap. We were now the ones screaming and the gun was going off as my buddy was just shooting wildly at this thing, like he was playing Doom. I don't know how he could have missed every shot, but we'll never know because this creature, wolf thing, ran off and never came towards us, and seemed to be more pissed at being caught than wanting to hurt us or retaliate. The deer, of course, had all fled due to all the commotion, and I'd felt like it took quite some time for them to feel brave enough or safe enough to come back and graze. We both stayed up all night those next few days, guns in hand, ready to shoot at the first sight of it coming again. Well, it never did. My buddy installs all sorts of expensive security equipment, cameras, etc., but nothing like that thing has ever been seen or heard on the property again. We will never know exactly what it was and if it was hurt, or if there was more, but I will never forget seeing a human-like body with a dog's head and human eyes. It's by far the worst thing I've ever experienced, and I hope to God that I never see anything like it ever again. The year was 1998, and I had been lucky enough to be a part of a hiking expedition that occurred out in the Rockies. I was thrilled to have been invited because I wasn't as seasoned as the rest of the group. I was nervous about keeping up with their expertise, and don't you know, in a very swift moment, I became turned around and separated from the other hikers. This is a hiker's worst nightmare, especially when you are less experienced. I found myself turned around on a section of the trail that did not match up with what I knew about the Rocky Mountains. The ground turned coarse and full of rubble. Plants seemed practically non-existent, and a thick mist was rising, cutting me off from getting my bearings. Worse yet, I couldn't hear the group at all. Several times I tried screaming at the top of my lungs just to see if I could get anybody to answer me. There was nothing. Nothing but the faintest sound around me. In fact, sometimes it seemed like nature itself was silent, shushing me as to stay silent with it. The first sign that things were not right was the article of clothing I found. I came across a pink denim cap of one of the people that had been hiking in my group. I didn't remember the girl's name, but I distinctly remember that faded pink cap for some reason. I am one of those people that can remember far more details than I can a person's name. But that's just how it is. I picked that up with the intention of eventually returning it to her. I even dared to take the sight of the hat as a sign of hope. Perhaps I was near them after all. But how could she have dropped the hat and not realized? Things didn't really make sense at this point. The hope was short-lived when I came across and recognized a backpack that had also belonged to someone in my group, but I couldn't place exactly who. I just knew I had seen it on someone. I continued through the thickening fog for hours with the distinct feeling that I was just going in circles. I thought about how my rations and supplies were very limited. If this continued, I would eventually have no choice but to perish out here all alone. Yes, I was already thinking about doom at this point. I came across another possession, one of my fellow hikers. This time, there was a new level of bad news. It was a bandana that I remember seeing on one of the guys. The guy with spiked hair. It was stained with something dark and red, and I knew exactly what it was. I just didn't want to admit it. I couldn't fathom my brain going there. It was at that point that I began to feel panic, stalking me from a distance. My first thought was that robbers had came upon my group. Or maybe robbers isn't the correct word to use. Maybe modern day bandits. I don't know. But either way, something had clearly happened to the group. I hadn't heard any noises that would suggest a big bear or big cat attack. No screaming, no crying, nothing. I even looked in the dirt trying to find tracks or any sign of activity. There didn't seem to be any signs of a struggle. It's as if their clothing had just fallen off. So I quickened my pace with my visibility reducing by the minute, and the things I could see were things that I didn't want to. I came across a pair of shattered glasses that were all too similar to the pair worn by the Asian girl in my group. Then there was a torn sports bra that also looked to be bloodstained. One article after another that I could recognize as being from my group emerged out of the fog as I pressed onward, and my own sanity was beginning to teeter. So I broke into a light jog, even though the ground and the visibility was treacherous. The path began to descend with the unusual rocky ground rising on either side of me. Then, just like that, the trail went into a small cave. Small enough that if I wanted to get inside, I would have had to stoop down. Something inside my body wanted me to turn and run, but my conscience and need to find the group overrode my primal caution. I wondered if they could be inside, so I struck up my lighter and reached into the cave. What came next, I remember only in particles because in my mind, evidently, was closer to breaking than I'd realized at the time. The halo of the flame showed nothing but rock at first, but then a pair of eyes turned to me from somewhere, at the edge of the light's influence, and then another pair, and then more. Then the light showed me towering, furry bodies that were hunched in their stature, as if they were all used to a life of crouching and hiding. I hate to tell you this part, because it's going to sound like I'm crazy, but I can only tell you exactly what they resembled. And what they resembled were werewolves. That's the worst word to use with the complete overexposure of it. But honestly, there's no other word to describe what animal I saw. Their teeth extended well past their lips, and I can tell you they had long ears that looked like horns almost. Their mouths were busy chewing and gnashing something. I could hear the sounds of ripping and tearing. It was meat. They were eating on something. I didn't see. I immediately worked my way out, and they didn't give chase. I'll never know why. Maybe there's a reason they didn't want me. I'll never know. After climbing my way out, I luckily eventually found a trail, even though I was completely and utterly traumatized. I ended up contacting authorities, and they did a very thorough investigation. They also made a search of the area, but uncovered nothing, which was both surprising and unsurprising at the same time. I told them all about the bloody clothes and all the belongings I had found, and told them that I think that we were attacked by large unknown predators. They didn't really seem to take my story seriously. In fact, I was even a suspect for a while in the disappearances. But nothing they found was conclusive. I even told them there was a cave where I'd seen horrible beasts. I understand this story is sounding more and more crazy as I go on, but this is my experience that I have to live with. It will be with me forever, for the rest of my life. I don't get to just shut it off. And add to that, I have the trauma of dealing with being a potential suspect. Of course, that didn't result in anything, because like I said, they couldn't find anything conclusive that led to me. Anyway, this was over 20 years ago, and none of them have ever been found. And I still live with the agonizing pain of it all. I've only told a handful of people over the years in hopes that somebody can give me reassurance that things will be okay and that I'll be able to get through everything. But who knows? I can only hope. There is way more to life than the eye can see. More than science can theorize or religion can explain. we often use these things to validate our experience, thus avoiding the reality that we will never have all the answers. I think that the dead live amongst us. Your naked eye not being able to see them does not mean they do not exist. I know I'm getting straight to the point, but if you've seen what I have, you would agree 100%. Now, I have always been skeptical of mediums and psychics who claim to have the ability to speak with and see the dead. I believe there are people with such gifts, but that they are far from a TV personality or a fortune teller. They can be ordinary people who come into contact with ghosts or spirits of those who have passed on. I live in Miami, Florida, where the sun always shines. Growing up with my grandmother in her little house near the beach was the highlight of my adolescence. We would collect shells on her morning walks to take back and clean before putting them in our shell jar. I still, to this day, have the jar on my fireplace mantle as a decoration and keepsake. We would sit on her screened-in porch, listening to the waves crashing while playing Scrabble. It was always so peaceful there, a feeling I wish I could have bottled up for later in life. When she passed, my world was shattered. At 17 years old, I understood what death meant, but it didn't make it any easier. I was broken for years, unable to piece my life back together. It wasn't until 6 years later that I gathered the strength to go back to her house. Nothing was more unsettling than being there, knowing she would never come back. I went through her belongings, eyes full of tears, smiling at times from the good memories. I gathered some of her jewelry, the shell jar, a few paintings, old photographs, and the Scrabble game we used to play. I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders as I had avoided grappling with the loss up until that moment. Still, I struggled with letting go. I could not grasp never seeing or speaking to her again. It didn't make sense. It wasn't fair. Why does everyone have to die? So, like the nerd I am, I began to research. How to speak to the dead, how to see loved ones who have passed, how to summon spirits. My search history was full of questions. The more I read, the more my curiosity was sparked. Previously terrified by all things horror-related, I was suddenly interested in the spiritual realm. I watched a million and one horror movies related to ghosts. I became hyper-focused on figuring out how to communicate with my grandmother. But while hyper-focused, I never lost my sanity by wanting to try a Ouija board. If my horror movie binge-watching taught me nothing else, it taught me not to mess with a Ouija board. Plus, my research told me all I would really need is my mind and maybe her personal belongings or to be at her house. I tried to implement what I had learned by thinking about her and talking out loud as if she was already there. At times I thought that it worked, but it really was a placebo effect. I believe my efforts were too forceful when they should have come more naturally. Frustrated, I stopped trying. Instead, I focused on my own mental health and let her spirit rest. My mind was so wrapped up in chasing her spirit that I neglected to connect with my own self. Through meditation and breathing practices, I reached a place of deep consciousness and awareness. I decided to take off work and dedicated a whole day to trying to speak to her. I packed and took the shell jar, our Scrabble game, and a few pictures before heading to her beach house. After arriving, I was once again met with nostalgia and the feelings of sorrow. This time, they didn't last long because I knew for a fact that she was there. I was overcome with such emotion that I immediately had to sit and just cry it out. Crying in that moment was necessary because I had not done so in months. I wiped my tears and took the shell jar and pictures with me to the beach out front, stopping to put the Scrabble game on the porch. It was fairly sunny and the radiating heat calmed my nerves slightly. I sat in the sand, almost in the exact spot we used to gather shells and close my eyes. I didn't think about it much. I just visualized her standing in front of me. With both hands on the shell jar and the photographs in my lap, I sat in complete silence for at least 5 minutes. Then a breeze came by, bringing with it the faint smell of white diamond perfume, a distinct scent that many children and grandchildren will always remember. My heart fluttered because at that moment I knew it was her. I opened my eyes, seeing nothing at first. Then my eyes were drawn directly to an area to the right, about 20 feet away in the shallow water. There she was in her favorite white dress, looking right at me. Though always beautiful, she was more youthful and refreshed than I had ever seen. Her dress rippled in the wind, and as the wind sped up, she was swept away. The emotion I felt in that very moment was indescribable. I can't tell you whether it was happiness, sadness, fear, or shock. Probably all of them. The moment I wanted so bad for years finally happened, and I didn't know how to react. Now, 3 years later, I can confidently say that I always know where exactly to find her, walking on the beach or in the water. So anyway, I just wanted to share this with you because I thought it might be something your listeners would connect to. Basically, it really is true that things exist beyond the world that we think we know. I'm going to tell you this, Donovan, because I think you're the only one who'll believe me. Well, except one person, but I'll get to that later. I'm a student worker at the Ohio State University Main Library, officially known as the William Oxley Thompson Memorial Library. This thing is huge. 11 floors, which are mostly stacks, meaning rows and rows of bookshelves. You can stand on the bottom floor and look up at all those books. And let me tell you, doing that is not good if you have vertigo. I've been working there for a few months before I noticed anything unusual. I mostly reshelve the returned books, so I spent a lot of time walking around in the stacks, pushing a book cart. One day though, the student who normally helped the librarians close up was sick or something, so I had to stay late. It closes at midnight, and by then, hardly anyone's around other than a few really dedicated graduate students. There's a ton of lights in the library, because like I said, it's huge. So they start turning them off before closing time, and then the workers walk around to make sure no one's still inside before locking the doors. It's a little creepy, to be honest, because during the day, light comes from the big windows and the skylights. But at night, it's a lot darker. As I was walking around, I saw a light at the end of a row of bookshelves. It was bright, but flickering, like a candle. I'll admit, I was scared. I didn't want to confront some weirdo who was lighting candles in the library. When I got closer though, it flickered again and went out. I reached the spot where I thought it was coming from and I saw nothing. I figured it was just some weird thing or maybe I was imagining it. But then, that student, the one who was normally supposed to close, she quit. Just up and left OSU. So naturally, I was put on that shift. Now I had to close every shift I worked, which was 3 days a week. I'd pretty much forgotten about the light, but as soon as I walked up to that same place on the fifth floor and saw it again, I remembered. It disappeared again when I got close. I don't know what was going on, but after that, other weird stuff started happening with the lights. They would follow me, going on as I walked and then off as I passed. One far away would flicker and then go out. Finally, I asked one of the librarians why the other student quit. She said she was scared of something, but wouldn't talk about it anymore. I wanted to keep my job, so I didn't push it. I looked up some stuff on ghosts trying to find out. If it was a ghost, how I could make it go away. But all of them said you had to know something about the person, the dead person, before you could really do anything. I started sneaking off to spend part of my shift looking at old copies of the campus newspaper. I'd grab a volume and flip through a few pages whenever I got the chance. It was slow work since I had no idea what I was looking for. But one day, as I flipped through one of the yellowing bound volumes, I felt something like a flash of lightning in my head. The story in front of me was about a girl who was caught burning candles in the library. This was in the 1970s, before the renovation of the library in 1977 that I'd seen mention of in other issues of the paper. The article noted that she'd been found dead outside the library, and people were speculating that she'd been conducting satanic rituals with the candles. The cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. I turned forward through the next few issues, but there weren't any other stories, which told me they never found out how she died. At least, that was my guess. So, I had some information, but I still didn't know how to get rid of her ghost. If it was her and if I could do it. Both big ifs. I did some more research and people always said ghosts need closure. But there was no way I could figure out who killed her. If someone did, way back in 1970. There was one idea that might work though, I thought, and that was making an altar. Well, not really an altar. More like one of those roadside memorials, you know. The kind with pictures and flowers and stuff. So I photocopied the picture of her from the paper and got some fake flowers. There are always bookshelves in big libraries like that that aren't full. I found one in the most remote part of the library, the very back in a corner, and put a little memorial there. I even found a little angel statue and stuck it with the other stuff. I don't know if ghosts can sense stuff like that. So I made sure that night when we were shutting down to walk to the memorial. And yeah, the lights were turning on in front of me and off behind me. This time, now that I knew, or at least thought I knew, what it was, it seemed less creepy. Almost just like someone walking there, except I couldn't see them. When I got to the memorial, the lights flickered. I walked away without looking back and the lights stopped following me. After I was pretty far away, I turned and looked back. I saw that bright, candle-like light seeming to hover near that shelf where the memorial was. The next night, I walked around and didn't see any weird stuff with the lights at all. It was strange, almost sad, like I almost missed it. When I went to where the memorial was, it was gone. Maybe the janitor picked it up, or maybe something else happened to it. I don't know. But I never saw that flickering light again.